The Mike Missinelli Show.
Mike Missinelli, 97.5 FM, Philly's first FM sports station. We on an uneven playing field, top of the totem pole. 97.5, Mike Missinelli Show. Si, senor, we numero uno. And internationally large, just like a sumo. 2-6, Monday to TGIF. Mikey misses the Philly, where Hades the Wyclef. A man of the people, ambassador. Put this bull in the ring, they turn the matadors. Our competition completely non-existent. Burning up the phone lines, record number listeners. All the biggest names and the hottest topics. A runaway train in the drive time slot. It's kinda hard to stop us. On remote, standing ovation just like the opera. The best show on earth, I feel that's very proper. The most electric sports talk, ain't no need to shock ya. Turn your radios up, Mike's ready to rock.
Good afternoon, everybody. It is Mike Missinelli Show, a game day. Yes, Thursday, football Thursday today, as we broadcast from the Xfinity studio, only from Comcast. Eagles and Giants. I don't have any worries at all about the game. That's unusual for me, but I really don't. So we'll talk about what can go wrong, what can go right, and we'll analyze this game up and down today. So let me just start with the lineup, because we can finally button down a lineup today, who's in, who's out. So tonight's offensive line will be a little more buttoned down than it was last week. And so the lineup tonight looks like it'll be Mailata Opeta at left guard, Kelce Herbig, because apparently Pryor hasn't had enough reps, and Lane Johnson. And if Lane can't play a lot of snaps, my man Toth will be in there, right tackle, all right? So, well, that sounds bad. It's better than it was last week. All right, so in the defensive backfield now, we forgot we didn't mention this, but looks like Avante Maddox will be back starting at corner, which buttons down a cornerback situation a little better with Slay and Maddox, and then you have Roby Coleman or Will Parks in the slot, whoever. And so that's a little bit buttoned down. And defensive tackle, Malik Jackson's out, but Hargrave will be in. So those are the lineups that are the players that will solidify the lineup for tonight. Now, where do we go with this? Okay, let's look at what we have here. We have the Giants are fifth in the league against the rush. Now, that's not good for the Eagles, because the Eagles are really depleted with their rushing talent in this game. If the best they have is Boston and Corey Clement, and whoever else they're going to play in that spot. So that means that I think Carson Wentz is going to have to run the ball a little bit tonight. He's been successful running the ball. He's, I think, run for 15 first downs so far this year. So I think his legs are going to be important. Them rolling him out of the pocket is going to be important. Now let's look at the sackability factor, because we all know that Wentz is playing bruised up in this game, and he's getting crushed this year. He's under pressure 51% of the time. Last week, he was sacked or hit on 18 of his 46 dropbacks. His completion percentage at 58.7 is the worst in the league. But let's counter that, because the Giants cornerbacks don't cover very well. Their safeties are good. Their corners aren't very good. Maybe down the field, maybe outside the numbers, which we'll get into a little later with a Hembo stat that favors the Eagles. He's coming up at 3:30. The Giants are a paradox. They have a decent pass rush, and yet they don't cover. So I don't even know what the hell that means. But it means that it's a little bit of an edge to the Eagles, because they're better than the Giants. So let's look at the keys of the game. Daniel Jones. Come on. You think Daniel Jones is going to have a big night and bust up the Eagles in this game? I just don't see it. He's been most successful when he's running out of the pocket for his life. And that's really the only consistent offense that they've had. They're going to have to get a turnover with Daniel Jones. And I think they will. He has given up picks all year. He's fumbled the ball in the pocket all year. I think it's imperative, and I see it happening tonight, that the Eagles get a turnover that gives them a short field that gives them a touchdown, which to me makes them score 27 points in the game, which is plenty to win the game. All right, so with that analysis, Tyrone, are you in on that?
Oh, yeah, what you said, I buy all of it. I'm less of a believer.
You are less of a believer, which is interesting.
Yes.
In this game, because you're not, and I get why, you're not trusting this team. And frankly, they're probably not trustable.
And it's not just, it's a specific part. And I think they've gotten a bit of a free pass. They, no, not a big time free pass. The defense, they give up 29 points and change per game.
Yeah.
That's unacceptable. They've given up 68 the last 2 weeks. Unacceptable, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. They talk about the quarterback, talk about all this. Quarterback's playing hurt, as you mentioned. Not hurt, but you know, there's no way he feels great right now after all the hits he's taken. Taped up offensive line. He has to scramble around to get guys open because this was not the team that he was supposed to have at the start of the season. At what point does the defense against a bad offense say, okay, we're going to take care of business? That they played well against San Fran.
Mm-hmm.
I need a similar effort at home from them. If they get that, it's an easy win. But
You are very skeptical of their defense.
I'm skeptical of the coaching, and I'm skeptical of the players outside of that front four and Slay. Everyone else other than those five guys at a time, I'm skeptical of. The linebackers, the safeties, maybe Maddox holds it down. What I need from them, like you mentioned, is a turnover and a certain comfort level. A certain comfort level that if it's 3rd and 8, they can hand it off, and even if Boston Scott gets 2 yards, that if they punt, everything's going to be fine. That's the kind of ease I would prefer in a game like this. Protect your quarterback. Don't make him have to throw a bunch of throws downfield. How about you just control the game from the start on the defensive end like past Eagles teams? I need a Jim Johnson-style game tonight. That's what I'm afraid of.
So are you suggesting that maybe the coach might not be up for that kind of a task? As you can see, I am paying tribute to coach today.
Kind of you.
It is kind of me. I'm trying to believe in a coach that I really don't believe in. And so therefore, I am paying tribute to the coach with this ridiculous visor, which
maybe
makes my head look like a Q-tip.
Well, maybe your visor will beam, you know, good energy and good thoughts and forward thinking and second level thinking to Doug.
Yeah.
Power.
I don't know what it's going to do, but I'm trying here. But I actually think that the Eagles are not in trouble tonight at all. And I think they're going to win and cover. I've been wrong before, but I just don't see the Giants being a strong enough team. Even though the Eagles quarterback is beat up a little bit, I think their quarterback's beat up too. I think they're an inferior team to the Eagles. And I think tomorrow we're going to be talking about a win and the survival of the season, where if they can win 3 straight games, which I don't believe they will, by the way, but that's another matter. So like tonight, a win goes to the next step. And it doesn't mean to me they're going to win 3 straight. A win tonight means a win tonight.
Right. I'm taking it all 1 game at a time. I got to see what's going on in Dallas. Dallas has its own issues. Eagles have their own issues. I'm trying to take it 1 game at a time. I want to make it clear, I do think the Eagles are going to win the game. But what I need from them, if I'm going to start to believe in this team, and the city too, I need some control.
Mm-hmm.
And with all the injuries, because now you're coming in without Ertz and without Sanders, I think he makes tons of money. I get it. But to come in and think, all right, well, the offense is about to put up another 30 spot, I think, or 28, 29, 30, I think that might be, without aid from the defense, without a short field, as you mentioned, or something like that,
yeah,
even against this Giants defense, that might be a little bit unrealistic with the personnel. So this is where your defense, go ahead and take care of business. Give him a short field. Give them a short field. Special teams make a play. I need something like that so that they have control of the game.
I agree.
That's what I
think that's going to happen tonight, believe it or not. They don't get easy touchdowns like that normally, but I think that something's going to happen. A special team turnover, the Giants turn it over deep in the territory, and I think that's going to fuel them tonight.
And then if that's the case, then I think they do win in cover. I cannot prognosticate that.
Yeah, all right. And Natalie, you think it's going to be a convincing win tonight, right?
I don't know if it's going to be convincing.
No, you don't think
I think they're going to eke one out.
You think it's going to eke her?
I don't know, because before, you know, I was kind of optimistic that they were just going to go in there and do what they need to do. But then, you know, listening to Ty, he's so adamant about the defense. I tend to agree with him that if they can't get any turnovers and, you know, the Giants end up like, I don't know, coming out and offensively just, you know, handing it to them. I doubt it, but I've been torn.
I get it. I look at the inferiorness of the opponent, but I also thought the Washington football team was inferior and thought they had no trouble. Here's the difference. I think the Eagles have had enough offensive success in the last 2 weeks to have a little confidence that they can score against a bad team. So that's what I'm relying on.
See, that's...
And they get one easy touchdown via a turnover.
Travis Fulgham. No, I'm kidding. Oh, not you're talking. I thought you meant offensively.
Maybe Slay finally gets one.
Offensively, they get one, but it's.
Oh, you think they're going to get a defensive?
A short field. No, a short field touchdown.
Okay.
Precipitated by a giant turnover.
That would be nice.
A strip sack.
And 8 points is what I'm saying. It's going to come off of a shorter field thanks to a turnover. And that'll help them.
They
might get 10 points out of a couple turnovers. And that make it a lot easier.
A couple. You think they're going to get a couple?
I think this Giants team's going to turn it over. This quarterback's turned it over every game. So, whether he fumbles or whether he throws the interception. All right, so what do you think, folks? 610-632-0975. It is game day. Hembo at 3:30. We've got a fantasy football day today on a Thursday, game day, with Eric Carabel coming your way. And, you know, I just want you to analyze what happens tonight. What does it mean for the next couple of games? It's the Mike Missanelli Show. It is a game day right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
The Mike Missanelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
Are you kidding me? Snowboy snarls.
No one talks to Billy Idol that way.
That's awesome. Yes, it is time for our Twitter poll update, which comes to us courtesy of Paul B. Moyer and Sons. Natalie, what's the update in the Twitter poll?
Alrighty, Mike, over 800 votes on this one so far. What will be the main reason if the Eagles win tonight? 62% say the offense, 33% say the defense, 5% say special teams, so people are believing in the offense.
All right, let's get a statistical analysis of this game, which I think may favor the Eagles a little bit. Let's bring him in. He joins us every Thursday. He, of course, you see him and you feel him. On the ESPN morning show, get up, because he's providing all kinds of information for the people on the camera. And he is, of course, the pride of Westchester, PA, and Church Farm School. He's the great Paul Hembekinis. Hembo!
Mike Missanelli, I can't take the moniker of the pride of Westchester. Joey Wendell, the third baseman for the Rays. I played high school baseball with him. He's in the World Series.
Oh, you
right
did,
now.
Huh?
Had a couple knocks yesterday, at least for this week, maybe next if they can last that long. I think he's gonna have to be the pride.
For the time being. He's a hard nosed player.
Westchester University to the national championship a few years back.
Yeah, so yes, he did.
He's got a leg up on me. It's fair to say that our baseball careers have gone in very different directions since high school.
Yeah, but arguably, my answer to this World Series, you still will be famous for years to come, more than Joey. You know.
Well, let's hope so.
Well, this is Church Farm School. What was your nickname there, Church Farm School?
Nothing I could say over the air. Oh. I mean, I didn't get Hembo until,
Green No, Britain, not your personal school. Nickname, your team's nickname, your team's mascot.
The Griffins. It's half dragon, half lion or something.
Oh, the Griffins. Oh, all right. Yeah. All right, Griff. So let's talk about this game here. because this is a stat that I think people are going to like about Carson Wentz and his ability to play tonight against the Giants and what they don't do. What is it?
So Carson Wentz can win this game by winning the perimeter of the field. The Giants' pass defense is outstanding between the numbers. They have more interceptions than touchdowns allowed on those throws. But that same defense is absolutely dreadful along the sideline. They allow a QBR of 94 out of 100 outside the numbers. And over his last three games, Wentz has averaged 12 yards per attempt and 17 yards per completion on those throws. And that, of course, was without DeSean Jackson.
Wow. QBR 94 outside the numbers and 12 yards per attempt, 17 yards per completion on those throws. That's awesome. So DeSean's back. We may see a streak play.
I was texting back and forth with Orlovsky this morning. This is the clear path for the Eagles in this game. You're going to see the Giants defense play a decent amount of zone coverage, and they're just not a very fast team. They're, like I said, in a phone booth, when they can compress the field, they're a much better team, but they're not nearly elastic enough, I think, to go sideline to sideline. So this is an area, this is certainly a game in which Carson Wentz's arm strength should definitely benefit the Eagles much more than usual. And though he's been really inconsistent, of course, one of the areas in which he has thrived, is sort of the touch along the sidelines and some of those deep throws. And now he's got his weapon back. I like his chances.
All righty. Daniel Jones. Not good in the pocket, and is good outside the pocket, running, believe it or not, and he's probably an underrated runner who can hurt the Eagles' defense tonight.
Yeah, I think the primary objective of Jim Schwartz's defense tonight is to keep him inside the pocket, just like you said, and the two reasons why. First, he is that sort of an underrated running threat. He averages more than 8 yards per rush on scramble, believe it or not. And secondly, Jones just hasn't fixed his ball security issues. Jones has thrown 4 interceptions and has 3 fumbles inside the pocket already this season. For his career, Jones has 25 in the pocket turnovers in 19 games. So long as the linebackers sort of stay home and the 4-man rush does its job, this guy's going to cough it up at least once.
Yeah, see, that's ridiculous. That's why I'm looking at this game as an Eagle win, because 25 in the pocket turnovers is just absolutely absurd. So I'm thinking the Eagles get 1 or 2 short fields out of that tonight.
I would think so. I think it's very clear. When they're playing zone, the linebackers just can't go AWOL like they did a couple times last week against Lamar Jackson. Of course, I'm not comparing Jones to Jackson. I mean, Jones looks like he should be in the cast of High School Musical. But he is, like I said, a really underrated runner. And so long as the pass rush doesn't pin their ears back and sort of end up way too far afield, I think the objective here is to sort of compress the pocket and make him operate in a small space. Don't sell out for sacks. Go for pressure and keep him sort of constrained within the pocket, because his track record there, like you said, is just not good.
All right, let's go into the numbers here, the betting numbers and the betting trends. So it is 4.5 right now, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, give me a couple of trends here on this betting line.
Yeah, so the two loudest trends in this game actually sort of contradict each other. So I'm going to need you to tell me which is a bigger factor. The first is a good one. The Eagles are 5-2 outright and against the spread in their last 7 games when playing on a short week like they are now. Those 5 wins have come by an average cover margin of more than 10 points, so they've cleared it easily. But, as always, I'm sort of wary of betting on the birds at home. They're 6-13 against the number at home over the last 3 seasons, 3-11 when favored. Only the Chargers and Giants have covered at home less frequently than the Eagles over that span. To you, which of those two numbers is more predictive?
Well, I would probably have to go with the short week trend.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a little more telling than the other one. But however, you're talking about a quarterback who's playing, he's probably banged up and bruised. So, I mean, that trend would tell you that Doug Peterson does a decent job in a short period of time, right?
Yes. I think that's the right answer. It's very clear that the coaching staff has prepared this team well in circumstances like these. And it's also to the Eagles' advantage. It's also to the Eagles' advantage that they're up against a rookie head coach and a second-year quarterback that haven't been through the ringer all that many times. But your point about Carson Wentz is a good one. This number really surprised me in looking this up today. He's been hit 6.5 times per game on dropbacks, and ESPN's been tracking this for 10, 15 years. Over the course of a full season, no quarterback has taken that many hits on a per-game basis. So I'm with you. The quarterback is banged up, and if they don't remedy this thing pretty quick, I'm afraid he's going to get knocked out, because the last time we've even seen a quarterback approach this is rookie year Andrew Luck, and that guy was getting battered around like, you know, David Carr at the beginning of his career. So the numbers are very unfavorable in that respect. Right now, Wentz is dealing with an awful lot.
You know what's really interesting? He's getting banged around more than any time, like in the last two seasons, right? He didn't miss a game last season, and he's like really has survived all these hits this year. And people still say, oh, you know, he's always hurt. He's not durable.
Carson Wentz's toughness can absolutely not be questioned. He has suffered injuries, but his toughness can absolutely not be questioned. And you can't have watched the last few games without coming away with the fact that kid is an absolute warrior. I mean, the fact that we don't have stats to indicate that any quarterback has dealt with this before is pretty remarkable.
All right, let's go into the Football Power Index, which is how we always end. The Eagles on a tremendous shift. Are the favorite to win this division, Hebo.
A tremendous shift indeed. We can thank Andy Dalton for that. So ESPN's Football Power Index favors the Eagles to win the division, giving them a 55% chance to do so, despite a 6-9-1 projection. That number jumps to 61% with a win tonight and falls to 40% with a loss. FPI gives the Eagles a 70% chance to win tonight. That equates to a 7-point favorite. That's 2.5 points more than what Vegas says. And if anyone who sort of buys the analytics, this is an opportunity to get some action on a line that might be a little short as far as Vegas, how Vegas sees it.
Yeah, I actually like the Eagles tonight, and I do like them to cover. And I hope I'm not falling for fool's gold here, because the factor of Daniel Jones is weighing heavy for me for them to win the game tonight.
I grew up listening to a legend on the radio by the name of Mike Missanelli, who would say, this is a very smelly line. The betting data, right now, 80% of the public is on the Eagles. That is what gives me pause. From a football perspective, I'm with you. The Eagles should light up Daniel Jones.
Yeah,
they should clean his clock. But the Vegas aspect of this does give me pause, I have to admit.
I understand that it is against the Missanelli, the line telling me something. but I got to go with my gut on who I think the better team is here, and I hope I'm not wrong. So we'll see what happens, man. Good stuff as always, Hembo.
You're a good man.
We'll talk to you. There he is, the great Hembo on the Comcast Business Hotline, Beyond Fast. Football Power Day, they win tonight. They go to a 61% chance to win the division. And then what would happen if they lost to Dallas the following week?
Depends on what Dallas does this week.
Just say Dallas wins. The Eagles win.
Oh, probably.
Eagles jump to 60.
Probably 40%.
It goes below 50.
Yeah, probably.
All right.
But I mean, it's almost, well, no.
What?
Nothing. So it sounds like you're predicting that to happen.
No, I just don't feel good about them winning three in a row. I don't know why. I feel good about them winning tonight. I can't, like, click it into gear in my head. Well, because they win tonight, they're just winning the next two. I'm wary.
No, I can't do that either. I can't sit there and go, oh, Dallas is good.
No, I think they're horrendous.
And they have to come on the road in that game as well.
But I don't think that they're, like, that horrendous that they go, wow, the Eagles will easily beat them. Kevin in Delaware's been hanging. Kev, thanks for hanging, buddy. You're on.
Hey, Mike, Natalie Tyrone. I was just going to sit back and listen to the show today, but until I heard some guy named Dan something on a radio show said that Carson Wentz is no longer an issue on this team, and I'm like, really? Are you kidding me?
That was Dan Orlovsky that said that.
Yeah,
he wasn't a caller. He's a nationally respected football analyst.
I know he wasn't a caller.
Yeah.
I know he wasn't a caller.
Mm-hmm.
He was on a radio show.
Yes, he was on the morning show.
Yeah.
And you don't agree with that?
No, Carson has never been an issue. He's never lost his confidence. To me, he needed some help, you know, and he tried to do so much because of all the injuries that he got himself in trouble, you know, by trying to do too much.
Mm-hmm.
He has never lost his confidence or been an issue.
I disagree with that. Totally.
But, okay, well, that's...
Yeah, he wasn't playing like a confident quarterback early.
Well, you know, just all you have to do is look at all what's around him. You know, so I'm talking about the game tonight. I'm talking to him about the tanking and getting a high draft pick and all that stuff. You know, hello, you play to win the game. You know, I'm in the moment of this, watching this game. I'm not thinking about three games down the road. Just this game tonight. You know, this team is just riddled with injuries. I just want them to win the game tonight.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not thinking about down the road.
I got gotcha.
Get this win tonight.
But the only thing, that you can't ignore the fact that this is what they're playing for, to win the division with a losing record, right? So I mean, you can't just ignore that. That's the whole point. It's about surviving and getting as many as 7 wins to win the division.
Yeah.
And this has to be the first one. Now, let me ask you this.
Right.
If they lose tonight, Kevin, where are you as an Eagle fan?
I'm on to the next game.
You're on to the next game? With a loss tonight, it'd be their fifth loss. You're going to be like just stoic about it and just keep going?
I'm just going to say, okay, who's up next? Because it's about the next game and winning the next game. Not tanking, none of that stuff. I'm just one game.
Would you be disheartened if they lost tonight as far as them continuing their quest to win the division?
No. No, I wouldn't be disheartened if they lost tonight. No.
All right.
No, man. I'm on to the next game.
All right, Kev.
Because of two reasons. Hopefully that they can get a little bit healthier and better each week. That's the way I look at it, Mike.
All right. I admire that you feel that way. I don't know. I don't think I can feel that way. They lost tonight. They just go on to the next game.
No.
To me, they lose tonight. It's a very telling thing.
Well, yeah. I mean, the team still has to just keep playing it out, but me...
You got to be a little disheartened.
They'd have to get back to 500 to get me back at that point.
Yeah.
So they didn't have to win 5 in a row.
Yeah, probably not going to happen.
No, probably not. Yeah. We have our first flex for Sunday Night Football, and it happened because of COVID.
Oh, really?
Yes, okay. So now the Seahawks at Cardinals will be the Sunday night game. The Buccaneers and Raiders will be shifted to 4:05 on Sunday because there's a chance that game gets postponed or who knows. And they wanted to make sure they actually had a football game because the entire Raiders offensive line is now quarantined because one of the linemen tested positive for COVID.
Mm.
So our first flex is related to COVID. They wanted to make sure they had a game.
All right.
So if you planned on watching the Raiders on at night, you can't.
Yeah.
That will be now a 4:05 game.
All right. We have 2 open lines and... coming up is Eric Carabel at 4:00. So just to give you a little prep, if you want to get a question in for Eric Carabel, you can hit me up on email, which is MikeMiss@975thefanatic.com, or on my Twitter, which has been changed to MikeMiss25. MikeMiss25 is the Twitter handle. And you'll get those questions to me for Eric Carabel with a little fantasy football action coming up at 4:00. And the Mike Missinelli Show continues after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Oh, yeah, it's 4:00. 4:00 hour is brought to us by Landis Block, your one-stop shop page, all dropping outdoor paradise online, landisbc.com. Now, it happens to be a game night, but it's also a Thursday. And on Thursday at this time, we dip into the world of fantasy football with our man, the great Eric Carabel from ESPN.com. And Natty's brought to us by...
Family and Company Jewelers. If you're thinking about getting engaged, make Family and Company Jewelers your first stop for your fantasy engagement ring. Family and Company Jewelers, South Jersey's diamond destination.
What a double bonus here. We get Eric Carabel on a Thursday. We also have an Eagle game to analyze. Hello, Eric. How are we doing?
I'm great, Mike. How are you doing?
Fantastic. All right. Any takers with the personnel in tonight's game?
There's a couple. I mean, it shouldn't be all that aesthetically pleasing to watch, but I do think you can make the case for Wentz. He's not in my top 10 quarterbacks, but the Giants aren't very good, and they're tough to run on. So Wentz is going to be throwing 40 times in this game. Boston Scott, if you're desperate for a flex option, should get some passes in this game. Obviously, Fulgham, you have to play. No tight end. On the Giants side, Darius Slayton, a good play for the Giants. And their tight end, Evan Engram, has done nothing this season, but I don't know how the Eagles are going to cover him. They have a terrible linebacker play. So Evan Engram is actually a pretty good play tonight. This should not be a high-scoring game. This should be like 20-17. Neither of these teams is going to score a ton of points tonight.
Okay. Let's look at the card then before we get to our questions, which are abundant.
Yeah.
What major advantages do you see in the quarterback, running back, and receiver as far as mismatches? In other words, who can't you not play?
I mean, I think it's still the quarterback. It's the main guys you normally play. There's no big surprises here. There's a couple guys that are wild cards. Matt Ryan looked good last week. Does that mean he's back now to face Detroit? Tom Brady looked great last week. I have him ranked in my top 10. Not everybody does. And that battle between Pittsburgh and Tennessee, the unbeaten, Ryan Tannehill is really, really good, people. He's the number two quarterback in fantasy since he became the starter for Tennessee in week 7 last season. That means you got to rely on him now. He's a top 10 fantasy quarterback, ahead of Carson Wentz, ahead of Cam Newton now, ahead of a lot of other guys. So if Tannehill's sitting on free agency in your league, you really ought to pick him up, if for no other reason, to block him from an opponent.
Hmm. That's interesting. Tannehill. Coming up, yeah, I guess you're right about that.
Numbers are there for him every week.
You know, there were a lot of people that had semi-success with Ryan Fitzpatrick, and of course he's been demoted, and he's heartbroken, he said, and we'll talk about this a little later in the show.
Tragic,
it is tragic. Tua is in, so what do you think?
Well, Tua's not going to do anything this week. They're on a bye. But I do think after that, the next three games after this week's bye is going to be two games against the L.A. teams and one against Arizona. And those three teams rush the passer really well. So I'm not calling Tagovailoa a really good fantasy pickup, because for the next 4 weeks, he shouldn't do all that much. Nothing this week and then three tough games. But look for him in December. But quarterback's so deep. I mean, I still think I'd rather have Andy Dalton, because at least he's got a lot of weapons there. He's a clear starter there. But you don't want either of those guys anytime soon. Let's put it that way.
Okay. All right, let's get to some questions here. Ask Eric Joe says, who's a good fill-in option for Brady if the Bucs can't play?
Well, I mean, every week it's if this team can't play. I mean, Carolina's got, you know, cut to positive test too. I mean, if you want some sleepers at quarterback, again, Tannehill's still available in like 40% of ESPN Standard League. Justin Herbert, the rookie for the Chargers as well. I think Joe Burrow will do better against Cleveland this week, certainly than his opponent will. Baker Mayfield, Garoppolo looked good last week. I don't think I would recommend Daniel Jones. He's looked horrible all season long. So there are quarterbacks, and Andy Dalton's still available. He's facing Washington this week, a much easier opponent. He should do better than he did in his first start.
All right, that leads me to this question then. Steven wants to know, Gardner Minshew or Joe Burrow?
I've got Minshew generally ranked above Burrow. I have him two spots ahead this week, but neither are close to my top 10.
Okay. A.J. Green or C.D. Lamb, Mike wants to know.
I do not want to rely on A.J. Green. I know he was fine last week. I think it was more matchup-based. To me, C.D. Lamb gets his targets every week. When he gets in the open field, he puts up numbers. Again, I think Dallas will have success moving the football. I would take the rookie Lamb.
All right. Colin wants to know, it's a full PPR, Tyler Boyd or Jamison Crowder?
You know, in PPR, Crowder's pretty good, but I do think Boyd is a little bit of a better option. Both of them in my top 25 receivers this week. So if you can get both in your lineup, that'd be good, but I still lean a little bit towards Boyd.
All right, Willie, would you play Aaron Rodgers after his clunker against Tampa or Deshaun Watson this week?
I have Watson ranked ahead of Rodgers by one spot. Generally, I'm going to go with Watson. But, again, Rodgers faces a terrible Houston pass defense. So, if Houston's at home, I'll take Watson, but it's a close one there.
All right, Mike, Nick Foles or Jared Goff?
Oh, my goodness. Nick Foles question still. Let me look at my rankings. I don't see Nick Foles. I don't see him anywhere. Don't play Nick Foles, people. Don't play him in fantasy. Now, Goff, I have Goff number 24, so he's not a good option either. You know, but
you just dismissed Nicky.
Well,
after his impassioned speech last week.
Mike, we're not talking about winning Super Bowls. We're talking about fantasy statistics. And Nikki Foles is not helping you in fantasy.
All right. I got you. Brant checks in. I'm a 10-person PPR league. I need to start two running backs out of these four. Devontae Freeman, Boston Scott, Jerick McKinnon, Phillip Lindsay.
My goodness. None are awesome options. Boston Scott is the highest ranked of these options for me right now, and Devonta Freeman is second, which means you're playing the two running backs for tonight's game. But I don't heartily recommend either of them. Lindsay's the backup to Melvin Gordon. McKinnon, San Francisco's got all kinds of running backs. But, yeah, I'd go with tonight's running backs. But I wouldn't feel good
about it. I think I know the answer to this because you already favored Gardner Minshew. But Bill wants to know if he should start Wentz tonight or Minshew on Sunday.
I have Wentz one spot ahead of Minshew.
Oh, okay.
I probably go with Wentz tonight. But I don't see him throwing for like 250 yards or more than two touchdowns. I think it'll be an average performance enough to win. But he doesn't need to come from behind like he did the past couple weeks and throw for over 300 yards and three scores. I don't see that happen.
All right. Let's go to Twitter now for some quick hits. Michael wants to know, Carson Wentz or Matt Stafford this week?
Oh, it's Stafford by a good bunch.
All right. Fulgham or Kupp?
Oh, it's generally Cooper Kupp. The two LA receivers for the Rams, I like them more.
All right. David Johnson versus Green Bay or Devin Singletary versus the Jets?
I'd say it's Johnson because Singletary has shown nothing, and just because they're playing the Jets doesn't mean a whole lot there.
All right. DJ Gabe wants to know, he needs two out of three, DeAndre Swift, Melvin Gordon, or Devontae Freeman?
There, I would sit Freeman.
Okay. Pat, PPR League, since Sanders is out, do I roll with Boston Scott, James White, or J.D. McKissick?
James White would be my first choice. Scott would be my second.
Jeffrey, Juju Smith-Schuster has disappeared. Is he worth starting or is he worth putting on the trading block?
You're not going to get much in a trade at this point. I mean, their rookie Claypool is much more valuable. But as for this week, I mean, tell me another option. Jameson Crowder? Sure. Robert Woods? Sure. Claypool? Sure. But, you know, I don't know how to sit him otherwise.
All right. This is a big question on Twitter from Jeff. Mahomes for Kamara and Teddy Bridgewater trade.
Well, I mean, I guess that makes sense because Kamara is scoring more points and Bridgewater is a decent fill-in for Mahomes there. So, yeah, I'd rather have Kamara than Mahomes because you can get a quarterback easily.
Okay. Rob, Boston Scott or DeAndre Swift?
I have him ranked in almost the exact same spot. Mm. I still think the Eagles have no pass screen game and they can't run the ball. So I think it's probably Swift. I just don't expect Boston Scott to do a ton tonight.
All right. I guess he means the Allen that is the starter for Washington because he's asking if it's Andy Dalton or Allen.
Well, if it's Josh Allen of Buffalo who has struggled the past 2 weeks, it's Josh Allen. If it's Dalton or Kyle Allen of Washington, there I would go with Dalton.
Okay. All right. Changes got offered Edwards, Smith, Edwards-Helaire and Juju for Freeman and Chark. Should I take this?
I want the Clyde side. Let's put it that way. That Chiefs rookie running back is really good. He's second in the league in rushing. Le'Veon Bell's back. It means nothing to Clyde. You want the Clyde side there.
All right.
I want the Freeman side.
All right. Yeah. Tyler Boyd or Justin Jackson in a flex in a full-point PPR?
I think it's Boyd in a PPR. Justin Jackson, the Chargers running back, not a whole lot of receptions. Should be good this week, but Boyd's still a better option.
All right. Two more here. Fulgham tonight or Deontay Johnson, Dre wants to know.
It's not Deontay Johnson. He's been hurt the past couple of weeks. He's now third on the depth chart of wide receiver. I would go as Fulgham.
All right, and final question. Pick two. David Johnson, Drake Jacobs.
Jacobs has to be first, obviously. He's a top 10 guy. I would say Drake over Johnson. Drake looked great against on the last game there. I would say Drake over David Johnson. Oh. Definitely Jacobs.
All righty. Okay, now with the Raiders game with a COVID scare, what should the fantasy players do?
Well, you're probably not going to use anybody from tonight's game in place of Josh Jacobs. I mean, obviously, look at the news on Sunday morning. We're not going to know the result of this until Sunday, and they'll probably try to push it to Monday or Tuesday before they cancel it. So, for now, you don't do anything.
All right. Sounds good. Eric, great stuff as usual. The quickest 10 minutes in sports radio history. And so tonight, do you like the Eagles?
I like the Eagles to win but not cover. It's a field goal game to me.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks, E.
Take it easy.
Eric Carabel, Matt, brought to us by
Family and Company Jewelers. If you're looking to get engaged, make Family and Company Jewelers your first stop for your fantasy engagement ring. Family and Company Jewelers, South Jersey's diamond destination.
All righty.
We reopened the lines.
Who used to say that, Tara?
Steve.
Steve used to say that. Somebody later on.
Reopening the lines.
Yeah.
Yeah. But they're never closed. So
six pack of picks.
Right.
Six pack of picks.
Yeah. 610-632-0975 is how you climb in. All right. So when we go back and look at this game, and I tried to look at it statistically with the edges that favor the Eagles. First of all, the lineup is going to be more settled. Your offensive line tonight, Mailata, Opetta, Kelce, Herbig, and Lane Johnson. And hopefully Lane can play the whole game. And if he can't, look out for my boy Toth. Now, Slay and Maddox will be your cornerbacks. That's right. Devontae Maddox is coming back. And he'll play the corner. Hargrave is also in there from Malik Jackson. So they have filled in a couple of shaky positions. The key to the game, to me, it's getting a couple short fields and scoring at least a touchdown off of the short field. How do you get a short field? Well, Daniel Jones gives it up. He's been terrible in the pocket. You keep him in the pocket. You can strip sack him. You can get him to fumble or throw an interception. He has thrown an interception in every game this year. He's only completing 47.3% of his passes when he's under duress. That's in the bottom third of the league. So to me, that's a major key. And of course, the other key is, can the Eagles run the football? They're in a very weakened state right now. If you're talking about Boston Scott, Corey Clement are going to be the running backs. I like the stat that Hembo put out there. You can throw the ball down the field to the outside of the numbers because Deshaun Jackson is back. But you're going to have to run the football a little bit to set that play up. Can they run the football tonight? Overall, I do see the Eagles winning and covering in this game. And I hope I'm not shortchanging the Giants. And I probably am. But a lot of people think it's going to be a close game, including Tyrone.
Yeah, but that's not because of anything. I don't think the Giants are good in any way, shape, or form. It's that the Eagles on offense have a lot of injuries. And on defense, they haven't played well. That's really my concern. Mm-hmm. Not because I don't think the Giants are good at all. I think they're dreadful. And I think the Eagles will win the game, and I think the Eagles are better than the Giants. I think they're bad, but they're not Giants or Jets bad.
Yeah.
Like, they're not horrid.
This running thing's got me a little unnerved. Because the Giants do stop the run, and the Eagles aren't at full strength running the football. And they're going to have to run it a little bit. So, I hope they can get balanced enough on offense to score some points here. And that's why I think they need a short field.
I don't think Boston Scott's as bad as you think he is.
Well, I think he's bad. I just think he's a I don't think he's a bellwether. Like, I don't think he's you can give him 15 touches. I don't think that he's that.
He's done that before. I think you can do it for a week. I don't think he can do 15 a touch for a season. I don't even get 15 touches once.
I hope you're right.
Because I think Sanders is back for Dallas.
Well, Scott was good against the Giants last year.
Yeah, running the ball. They even gave him some goal line touches. I think he can get you through a game. I don't think he can get you through a season.
I hope you're right. I haven't been that high on him this year. I think he likes, those guys that they impress and then they regress. So anyway, 610-622-0975. Wide open right now as we reopen the phone lines. Joe in West Philly, you're on 97.5 Fanatic. Joe.
Hey, what's up, Mike?
What's going on, Joe?
Talking about the Eagles a little bit. What's up, Tara, on that? You know what? Listen to the guy Carabell talk about Joe from New York. It seemed like it was talking about the same quarterback. You talk about he usually get strip sacked, throw interception every game. You know what I mean? He get befuddled. You know what I'm saying? I
think Wentz is a lot harder. The thing I really admire about Wentz is his ability to squirm out of trouble. He's really good at it. You really can't get him down. Like, Jones is easier to get down, I think, than Wentz is.
Yeah. But you know what the different thing I think it is? Like, Aaron Rodgers, he's a quarterback who could make up for the mistakes of his team. His offensive line stink. He know he got to get rid of the ball.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? He don't have to find a wide receiver. He definitely find one, like he's finding this guy this year and things like that. I think things like that would get Wentz in trouble. You know what I mean? More than him trying to do too much.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I don't think he has those intangibles. And I think things go wrong. I'm not a Wentz hater, but I just hate the fact that, I mean, I first said, you can't lose to the Redskins. You can't tie Cincinnati. Get out of here with that game last week, man. They didn't score. And then they kicked a field goal in the first half. They would have won the game. I mean, they could have had, I mean, you can't disappear three quarters. And then, I mean, Baltimore basically fell asleep at the well. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, it looked it all. I mean, seemed it all right. But to me, it was still another trash game. You know what I mean? Big yards coming from behind. I don't think he's a machine gun type of quarterback.
Yeah.
I don't like no 40 passes a game. That's not him. I think Wentz is more a manager. You know what I mean? I think he's more of a game manager. When he starts
what?
Yeah, I don't think he's game manager. I think he's got him.
He gets himself in too much trouble when he starts to scramble around.
He's not a game manager. That. The only way they can win is if he makes plays. He's not managing anything.
I mean, a run. I'm talking about as far as level running field, level passing field. You can't get like Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, you're changing him, man. To call him a game manager is an insult.
Dude,
that's an insult. I understand, but look what he's playing with. My God, he doesn't have any playmakers around. How's he a game manager? The only chance they have, he gets out of the pocket, makes dynamic plays.
Oh, man, he can make dynamic plays, I'm saying. But he also will get sacked five times making the same play. He also will throw interceptions. You know what I mean? He's not clean enough. He doesn't get
all right.
Enough.
All right, Joe. I think it's a really tough field to evaluate him on right now with the lack of players he has around him. And dreadful offensive line that they've tried to patch together for the guy. God's sakes, come on.
And this is where I hate certain terms that get put into the ether because then people don't know how to use them. You can't say he throws interceptions and he's a game manager in the same sentence because the point of a game manager is hand it off, they throw really short passes, and they don't do any of that stuff. If the quarterback has to create, he's not a game manager. A game manager means other people create the defense. They have really good skill players. You throw a short slant and that guy takes it 80 yards.
Yeah.
They don't have that personnel.
A game manager like Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Exactly.
All right. So, since I brought that up, let's talk about this because he put out a thing. It was heartbroken. And I'm going, and so I put out, come on, dude. You know, what did you think when they drafted that guy? What, that he wasn't going to eventually take over? And I got hammered on Twitter. All these Ryan Fitzpatrick sympathizers. Yeah, am I missing something here? What is it? All of a sudden, this was John Elway that got replaced?
I think it could just be anything that you say, Mike. People just want to take the opposite
side. No, they were winning, dude. That was unfair. They were winning. I'm going, it's Ryan Fitzpatrick. What are we talking about here? We're talking about the ultimate journeyman quarterback.
Yeah, the only thing that was wrong was they should have, the team does like him. Remember when he was the quarterback and Deshaun put his gold chain on him and stuff?
Yeah, I get that.
The coach should have told the players and they found out through the media. That was wrong. That's always wrong. You should never find stuff out there.
I hear that, but the guy's walking around wearing a hair shirt over here.
Yes.
Oh, God, what is he, 37, 38?
It was ridiculous, and it was, well, apparently it was predetermined that after the bye, they were going to make the switch. Because they know that no matter how well they're, quote, winning, they can't win a Super Bowl this year.
Miami
wants to win. They want to win a Super Bowl. And they think that eventually with this first-round pick they just drafted, with the big arm, they can win. So they need to get him in there. They want to give him time to get healthy.
Well, yes.
And learn the league.
It makes total sense. Like these people go, well, they should. They were, what, were they going to win a Super Bowl? Like, what? Taking Ryan Fitzpatrick, is that going to prevent Miami from winning the Super Bowl?
No.
No. So then what's the difference?
You're absolutely right. And what's funny is some of those people that are mad at you, if you look at their tweets, they're the same people that will be ready to take Wentz out and switch to Hurts. But if, God forbid, you can't run to Patrick, you got to look to protect.
Ryan, come on, man. I mean, you're a veteran journeyman. You're lucky to get a paycheck from year to year, and God bless you. You do have heart and all that stuff. But dude, come on.
I agree. The only thing that was bad was, I don't know how the coach mismanaged this. He should have talked to Ryan man-to-man before the season started and said, listen, because it's not just the coach making that kind of call. When the first round pick quarterback gets drafted, that call might be in the owner's room. That goes from the very top. Because obviously if Fitzpatrick is the veteran, the coach wants to win now. They don't think about the future because they might not have a job in the future.
Yeah.
That came from above. He should have told Ryan Fitzpatrick in the preseason, listen, I'm going to ride with you as long as I can. But you know, we just drafted this kid in the first round. He's going to be the quarterback. You do know that, right?
Yeah. That's what's stunning to me.
That he really was naive enough to think.
Yeah, like I could see if it was a younger guy. I mean, this guy knows what he is, doesn't he?
Same thing with Andy Reid draft Mahomes. Mahomes was less NFL ready because he didn't play at Alabama. He played at Texas Tech. So he wasn't as NFL ready. They told Alex Smith that day. Now listen, Alex, we're going to keep you for a while. But this guy with this huge arm, he's going to be the guy.
See about this Harvard entitlement?
Uh-huh, a little bit. He's not used to being told no.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, the door's open for Harvard people.
6'10". Dude, you don't even need football. Yeah? Go in the street, wave the degree. 17 corporations will make you the CEO.
You can write for The Simpsons.
Right.
True.
Everybody, all The Simpsons writers are Harvard. You write for Conan, write for
Conan
SNL.
Conan O'Brien was a Harvard grad.
Yeah, a bunch of them are Harvard. Go write comedy. You can do anything you want. You go to Harvard.
All right. 610-632-0975. We're open for you. What are you thinking about tonight? It's a win. While on my book, I think the Eagle fans are confident that it's a win. I want to hear
that's
that from
not
them.
True.
No, I think they are, and that's why they're laying low. It's the Mike Missinelli Show. Back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic. It's time for you to sound off.
You gotta be faking me. What is the hell are you doing?
You got a beef? It's time for you to sound off.
Oh man, that's irritating.
You don't feel this energy that's going down right now. Number five will always love you.
Your chance to tell Mikey Miss what you're fired up about today. Brought to you by Rothman Orthopedic Same-Day Joint Replacement, where you can get your hip, knee, or shoulder replaced during the day and sleep in your own bed that very night. Visit samedayjoint.com. Let's get going. Sound off.
All right, it's time for Sound Off as we roll into game night here. Sound Off line 610-771-9705. You got something to say, hit us up. Leave us a message. But a little pregame Sound Off. Let's see what we got.
Eagles, Giants, Thursday night football. You know the best part is the birds are back in black.
Eagle,
let's go!
All right, now, a lot of people like the black. I heard Anthony not liking the black today. Ant's a non-black jersey guy.
I like it.
The black jersey.
That's my favorite.
He doesn't like it. He says it's not representing the true character of the green.
What, the midnight green?
I don't know if there's character in a color.
He says no go on the black, but most people like it.
I love it in a night game.
Yes.
Don't love it as much in the day.
No.
But in a night game, I like the black.
All right, they're in black tonight.
It's game day, and Jake Elliott is still our kicker. Got a message for you, Jake. Hit the road, Jake, and don't kick for us no more, no more, no more, no more. We can't take it no more, no more, no more, no more.
Well, that's a bad message going into a game, dude. Like, after the game sound off, that would have been... Come on, man! You're going to cut his legs out right before the game?
It was a weak sound off in that way this whole week. Weak in that way. Not much rah-rah.
Come on, he hasn't done anything. Like, he didn't do anything yesterday. Like, well, all right.
Mikey Miss, I just heard a touching story about how Tom Brady went up to John Runyon's son and shook his hand and told him that he was a teammate of John Runyon's in Michigan. What a magnanimous guy, isn't he? Seems like he can shake people's hands when he wins. But when he loses, he becomes a giant.
Okay.
Which is exactly what he
get did. Over your false slight for crying out loud. Enough.
Welcome to the Doug Peterson School of Wordsmithing. We are currently accepting applications for spring enrollment. Apply now and learn how to assuage a reporter by taking a deep yoga breath followed by a guffaw prior to answering the question. Also, how to hide bold-faced lies by repeating the question while chuckling with a country buckskin demeanor.
Yeah. poor Doug. But see, I gotta give the guy points because he went assuage.
Good word.
That was a great word.
Yeah, you don't hear that very often.
I hope he calls tomorrow, win or lose.
Yes.
Hey, Mike, calling it right now. Listen to this and remember it. Eagles win the division with a record of 5-10-1. All right? Host the playoff game. They win that. This, that, and the third. Super Bowl in Florida. They get sweet, sweet revenge on the Ravens. They win it 56-0. Book it.
All right. I'm done. I can't. I don't even have any words anymore. Next.
The way this team's going and the way their record is going, the way this division looks, we may be looking at a playoff team or a top 10 pick. And I'm tired of Howie Roseman making these picks year after year. And you know what? I believe that in the next draft, if he picks another Pac-12, or in fact, if he doesn't even pick a SEC or powerhouse team, Jeffrey Lurie should fire him right on the spot.
Well, I mean, you never know whether a great player is going to come out of a certain conference. Maybe he should say, I'm only going to pick guys from the SEC. Just go with that philosophy, see how that works out.
Well, especially your linemen, maybe.
Yeah.
The skill guys can come from other conferences.
Yeah. But the SEC,
Lamb came from Oklahoma, didn't he?
He did.
Playing pretty good, right?
Yeah, that's a Big 12. I mean, that's a monster school in the Big 12. And the SEC guys, Justin Jefferson, looks pretty good. And Claypool went to Notre Dame, and the kid from Arizona State, Ayuk.
That's practice. So I think linemen, you can do that. Not everywhere.
All right.
Hi, Mike. It's Renee from Maple Shade. I hung up. Just wanted to call and tell the three of you, you put a smile on my face every afternoon. Tyrone is hysterical. I love all three of you. Natalie, your hair looks great. And the Eagles are going to win. You got to be positive. Positive, positive, positive.
Oh, Renee, thanks for calling. You give us a little boost as we go. Yeah, she is a peach.
Yeah, Mikey Mitt. I've been behind Foles since he was here with, I believe it was Chip Kelly, or it might have been the guy between Chip, and I can't remember his name, between Chip and... So don't act like we just discovered him in 2017. He's not a full-season quarterback. Everybody knows that. But your superstar played much better when he had Foles behind him on the bench.
What? I don't know. This is never going to stop, so I'm defeated. You have defeated me with the ball. Wentz would have been better if they would have kept him on the bench. However, you would have had to pay him $20 million as a backup, so come on with the fuck. I want to like shoot a crossbow into John Travolta's door like Freddie Prinze. All right, close it down.
That's the best of the best today of Sound Off. Brought to you by Rothman Orthopedic Same Day Joint Replacement, where you can get your hip, knee, or shoulder replaced during the day and sleep in your own bed that very night. Visit samedayjoint.com.
Got a beef?
I don't like them.
What are the
Because I don't like
them. Leave it at 610-771-9705. And listen tomorrow at 5:45 to see if your sound off gets on.
Good rings. See you later.
All right, I'm going to close it down. Stay tuned. The Fanatic pregame show is coming up from Parks. Devon Gibbons, D-Gut, and number 36, Brian Westbrook on NBC Sports Philly. Stay tuned for quick slants in the Eagles pregame show. I got the Eagles 27, Giants 13.
Sounds good.
That's a cover.
Yep.
Have a great night, everybody. Watch the ball game. We'll talk about it tomorrow.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.